You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and today I have the tremendous pleasure of chatting with John Fallis. So John is a veteran of the advertising world that you may have heard of, referred to as Madison Avenue. And we'll talk a little bit about that, and we'll talk about what he's done since his Madison Avenue days, working with small businesses, as well as offering a little bit of therapy to business owners as well. So let's get into it. Welcome, John.
Hey, David. Good to talk to you.
Indeed. All right. Well, this whole thing that I saw as soon as I saw that we had an opportunity to chat with each other about marketing therapy intrigued me so much that I think that's a great place to start, because I'm totally curious about about what you mean by that.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to hear you say that you're intrigued by that, because that was the whole idea behind branding myself with marketing therapy. Because as we were chatting about earlier, the last thing I wanted to say when I met someone at a networking event that I'm a marketing consultant, because that would just get them, force them to say, excuse me, I got to get a drink.
Yeah. At least you weren't in insurance or something like that, right?
Exactly. You know, in essence, I was a marketing therapist. I mean, a marketing consultant, but I had to figure out a way to answer that question and not have them walk away from me. And that happened, David, as a result of having my own agency for a while. But then as the marketing landscape changed and evolved in the late 90s and the early 2000s, being an advertising guy was not a very sexy thing to be. And the question at that time for me was, well, then if I'm not an advertising guy, what am I? Mm-hmm. And the people that I was interfacing when I went to networking events were primarily small business owners, all of whom needed marketing help, didn't necessarily need an ad agency.
Right.
So at that point, I had to figure out, well, how can I evolve my business so I could keep working? I think at that time I was maybe in my late 40s, so I wasn't yet ready to retire. Mm-hmm. And I had to figure out how to evolve my business. And what really triggered it was something I started to share with you earlier, was I got a call out of the blue by someone who had been highly referred to me. She was a solopreneur, I guess is how you describe her. And she was referred to me as someone who could help her with her business. So this woman called me up and said, I'm calling you because I need some marketing help. And I said, well, it sounds like you need consulting, and that's not what I do. I'm an advertising guy. And again, this is when I wasn't yet ready to stop calling myself an advertising guy. Mm-hmm. And that's not what she wanted to hear, because she was really desperate. And she had not only been referred to me, but she had seen me give a presentation at one point. And I guess I impressed her by whatever I said. And she wasn't willing to let me get off the phone with me telling her that I just don't do marketing consulting. And the more she kept talking and the more I tried to deflect her, the more I thought I should just shut up and come up with a hourly rate that she would say yes or no to. Probably no,
yeah.
Because I knew what my value was, and I did not assume that she could afford to pay me what I thought I was worth. So I got her off the phone by telling her that I would give it some thought and I'd give her a call the next day, knowing that I had to come up with some kind of an hourly rate that I thought would be worth my time. And this was in 2004, David. And then the hourly rate that I came up with was $250 an hour.
How would you like to become part of the More Perfect Marketing family? You can when you join our free online community, More Perfect Marketers. Inside, you'll get access to our collection of marketing cheat sheets to help you streamline your business growth as well as the videos from David's Niche Challenge, which will teach you the counterintuitive approach to selling more by focusing on a narrower audience. To join for free, please visit mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. Now, back to the show.
Which I was pretty confident that she would not be able to afford. So at least I would give her the opportunity to work with me at a price that I thought would be commensurate with my value. And I told her what my rate was. And I said, you know, if you're organized, I think we could accomplish a lot in an hour and I could answer a lot of the questions you have for me. And she paused for about 3 seconds and said, okay, when can we meet? To which I said, and by the way, I get paid up front.
Mm-hmm. Very smart. And I imagine she committed and the rest is history.
And she came to my apartment. At the time, I had downsized, so I was no longer had my Madison Avenue office space, but I did have a Park Avenue penthouse that I was living in. Mm-hmm. And she came up to my Park Avenue penthouse and sat on my couch, and I pulled out my legal pad and said, okay, so what's your problem? And she basically for 50 minutes talked nonstop. It's just like basically one ongoing sentence.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't want to interrupt her because clearly she needed to purge herself of all these issues. I just was taking a lot of notes. But, you know, as the hour was coming up, I felt obliged to interrupt her and say, listen, Eileen, we only have about 15, 20 minutes left, and I want to give you some feedback here. And she could not believe that she had talked for 45, 50 minutes straight. Yeah. And I said, listen, I don't mind giving you an extra 10 or 15 minutes, but, you know, we have to stop at that point. And she, that's when it realized, it made me realize that because she was so emotionally enmeshed with her business, clearly she needed marketing help, but a lot of her issues were so deeply embedded in her emotional issues that I felt like I was half marketing consultant, half therapist. Mm-hmm. And when she left my apartment and I had the check in my hands and we decided to meet again, I said, maybe I could build a business on this, you know? Maybe if she is that desperate for my marketing help, maybe what I need to do is figure out what to call this thing and see if I could get other people like her. Because if I could get a half a dozen people paying me $250 an hour who are coming to my apartment or talking to me online, I could live with that.
Yeah.
And that was the genesis of marketing therapy. And so that's when I decided I needed to basically build a brand around this and build content around this and put up a couple additional web pages off of my main follisinc.com website that could steer people to, do you need marketing help? Mm-hmm. And then it would talk all about marketing therapy. And I did that for about 15 years.
It's, you know, it's amazing and we'll get to the difference between sort of the client experience you had in the advertising world and what you've just described. But there's an amazing difference, I think, in the client type from my perspective, having not worked in the sort of traditional Madison Avenue world, that a lot of those clients are emotionally disconnected with the business and what they're selling, because they're employees. Even the leadership in those organizations are usually employees, right? Whereas small business, whether it's a solopreneur or just a small operating business with some employees, maybe even 50 employees, it's their baby.
Right.
And so there's an emotional connection that I imagine you've seen working with these types of clients that you probably never saw in your previous life.
You know, my lifespan in the big agency world did not last long because I kept getting fired, you know, 4 times in 7 years, which was the beginning of my entrepreneurial career. Mm-hmm. Because at a certain point, you realize I felt like I was just banging my head against a brick wall and started freelancing and said, well, let me try this channel. And that's when I attracted a business partner who was an amazing sales guy. And the people that, or the, I should say, the clients that we were getting as a small agency were very much like the ones you described, who were small business owners themselves. And for these clients, in this case, it was very emotional, not maybe as emotional as it might be if they were solopreneurs like this woman who called me, but still, because they were small business owners, were very emotionally attached to their business. So it wasn't a big leap to go from a few years working with small business owners to more solopreneurs and, you know, people like the woman I described.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I alluded to the fact that there are differences between this concept of marketing and what you, you know, previously identified with as advertising. I wonder if you can sort of walk through how you saw things change between, you know, identifying yourself as an advertising guy and then becoming a marketing therapist. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, again, you know this, and I'm sure because you have a savvy audience, they know this, is that marketing is the big picture. That's the umbrella. And there's a whole myriad of things that go under that umbrella, the biggest of which, at least up until about 20 years ago, was advertising. That's where the majority of marketing dollars went up until the internet. Mm-hmm. And then every year, starting from about 1994, 1995, those advertising dollars started shifting to online dollars. Websites and then social media and, you know, online marketing channels, where now, unless you're a big brand, you don't spend anything on advertising. You use traditional media anymore. Mm-hmm. That's in essence the difference. When you think of advertising, you think of even now you think of TV, radio, print. And when you think of marketing, you think of everything else, be it personal branding or social media or Facebook or AdWords or any of the dozens of terms that come under that marketing umbrella. Email marketing, things like that, you know.
Sure. What I've often thought, maybe you can correct me if here, but I was often putting any paid ad channel, regardless of whether it's an online or, you know, a traditional offline print or outdoor advertising. But you just mentioned AdWords, for example, or any sort of pay-per-click, you know.
Of course.
I would always categorize those as advertising because sure. I think there's a different function there. Although sure. online, it's interactive in a way that offline, it's not exactly. I guess you could have a response mechanism like calling a phone number, but it's different. Yeah.
To sophisticated people like you and your audience, advertising certainly does mean, like, you know, Facebook ads. They're ads. Facebook. Talk to the average person on the street about advertising, they think Super Bowl commercials, right? You mm-hmm. know, they think TV commercials, they think billboards. So yeah, it's basically who you're talking to, but you are correct, because now online advertising is what advertising is to anyone who's not a big brand. That's certainly considered advertising. It's just not tradition, not in the, you know, traditional pre-internet sense of the word. Mm-hmm.
We before we started recording, we were talking a little bit about the difference between the direct response sort of subcategory of the agency world that you were in and the what everybody else did, which was, you know, creative ads and branding ads and things like that. Right. You've worked with, and I'm interested to hear the types of small business, you know, projects that you worked on in the agency world too, but you worked on things that didn't have the same kind of budget as an enterprise client, like, you know, Budweiser, where, you know, they just need to put their name or their image in front of the world, you know, to see it on a consistent basis. Or right down the road from me here in Oregon, Nike, who has told their employees that our one big goal is to have every human on the earth see the Nike swoosh every single day of their life, right? That's right. A very different category than what I think most small businesses need to focus on. How do you approach that?
Well, every business is different. When I started my agency, it was still decades ago. We started our agency pre-internet. So it's very different than the clients who are listening to this podcast right now are dealing with. It all depends. I mean, there's some things about marketing that still hasn't changed. You know, to your point, it's still about strategy. That will always be the case. You have to figure out, you know, who you are and who your audience is and what is the best strategy to reach them. So things like that will never change regardless of how the media landscape changes. Things like that will still be important. The name of your company, you don't have to be a Budweiser to start thinking about how you would brand your business. When I felt the need to come up with a unique name for my consulting business, that's branding. Marketing therapy is a way to distinguish myself from all the other people who call themselves marketing consultants. So even though branding is associated with Coke and Pepsi and Budweiser, it doesn't mean that you have to be that kind, that size of a business to have a branding perspective of things.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's change gears a little bit, because I want to talk a little bit about the importance of marketing in business. This is something I think both of you and I have experienced, business owners who dismiss or overlook the importance of it. And when we talk to business owners, we'll talk about our version of the three-legged stool, which is that they have some operations systems in place in their business. They have some financial management systems in place in their business, and they're missing systems around business growth, which we define as marketing. And that you need all three to actually operate successfully in a business. What's your experience with businesses dismissing or overlooking marketing? Because we see it all the time, and it was something you had sort of mentioned as well.
Yeah. I've come across friends of mine who are very smart people who, have their own business. And one in particular who I don't understand, because she's a PhD. Her business was thriving pre-pandemic, and now she's really struggling. But she's not doing anything to help herself, because she's nearly not focusing on marketing her business. And I don't really understand it. Obviously, she's a smart person, but she's not smart enough to realize that if she doesn't figure out how to market herself, she's going to probably continue to struggle finding new prospects. I mean, the first thing to do is you talk to the people you know, and you do networking, right? Yeah. That's the thing. And that's what she's been doing. But when that well runs dry, which it can do for many people, you've got to have something else in place. You can't only rely on your relationships. Mm-hmm. And the smarter business owners realize that. And, you know, it's a mindset. And I wrote a booklet a few years ago that I used as kind of a way to introduce prospective clients to what I'm about. And when people say, well, what's the most important thing when it comes to marketing? My response is to have a marketing mindset. And what that means is to realize the value of marketing. And sometimes if you know, it's like many things, some people just get it and some people don't. And some people, I think, are open to understanding it better if you present it in a way that they can digest. But I guess the reason that people don't respond to it is because I guess they just think that it's not as important as it is. They think those other things are important because, I don't know, because, you know, you don't have to make a case for it. But I guess the thing with marketing is that maybe they feel like there's no guarantee that it's going to be worth their time, right? they could put their time and their money into it. And what is going to be the return on that, right? You can't prove that if you spend X amount of dollars on marketing that you're going to get a return on that. And maybe that's the reason why a lot of them don't really take it that seriously. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think this, the concept of the marketing mindset is one I haven't heard. And so I'm eager to understand how you help install a marketing mindset in somebody who doesn't already have one.
Sure.
But I think that there's ways to obviously illustrate the importance of it. Look, you can't have money to manage and a financial, you know, part of your business to have some systems to manage if you don't have the money coming in the first place. Well, how do you get the money coming in? Well, you gotta get people to be aware and to take action. So I think that it's a reasonably straightforward argument. But I think, as you've pointed out twice now, with the friend who, you know, is a PhD and very smart, and the initial client that you mentioned, who you met with in your apartment, there's an emotional piece to this as well that I think we have to help business owners get past, which is that their energy and their focus is elsewhere.
Yeah. And, you know, let me answer that question by giving an example that everyone can appreciate. Have you heard of Steve Jobs?
The name rings a bell. Yes.
Well, I'm sure everyone who's listening to this is familiar with that name. And there's no better example of someone who had a marketing mindset than him. I mean, if you know anything about him, and I know a lot about him, and I just watched for the second time a documentary and a docudrama about him on Showtime a couple of days ago that was great. It just reminded me on how much the success of Apple was built around the fact that he was the marketing genius behind it. And it was Steve Wozniak who really built the computer. Mm-hmm. But because Wozniak did not have a marketing mindset, but Steve Jobs did. And it was the combination of that that made them so successful. But if they were both of them were computer nerds going to that homebrew computer meetup that they went to in Silicon Valley, and neither one of them understood the value of marketing, I don't think we would have a company called Apple today.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so obviously you need to have that mindset as part of the equation. I often find it challenging because I use examples like the one that you just did with Apple of big, well-known businesses and I'm working with small business and they'll go, yeah, but that's different. That was Apple. I'm completely different. And I think, well, no, you're not different. You still need to approach things in a similar fashion. So is that how you will sort of give somebody the direction to think more seriously about marketing?
You know, I realized pretty quickly that if I have to spend my time trying to convince someone of the value of marketing, they're probably not a good prospect.
Yeah.
And this is where my marketing comes in, because by the time I'm spending my valuable time interfacing with a prospect, I want them to be like the woman who called me up on the phone. Mm-hmm. And was already convinced that I could help her. Do you know what I'm saying? So I put my money where my mouth is, and put a lot of my time and effort into marketing my business. I certainly did that with marketing therapy by creating a lot of video content and a lot of information. So that does that selling part of convincing mm-hmm. part of it. That's why. Let me see. Hold on a second. Okay. So in 2006, so for you people on audio, they're not going to see this, but mm-hmm. this is a booklet that I created that the title of which is How to Attract and Excite Your Prospects, A Guide for Getting the Best Marketing Results. And the reason why I specifically did not write a book is because I wanted to have something that it's kind of like a church sermon. You want to keep it 20 minutes or less, because at a certain point, people zone out. And I felt this was just enough to get someone to read on the commute, on their commute to work, on the train or the bus, to read it and be convinced of how I can help them.
Yeah.
So, you know, this again was another example of how I marketed my business, and I did whatever I could. So by the time I'm actually talking to the person, I'm not having to convince them that they need marketing. I'm just trying to convince them that I'm the best one to do that for them.
And so, I mean, this is a perfect example of how effective marketing works, because you're letting everything that's out there before they even meet you or speak with you do the selling for you. It's like what's the guy's name? John E. Kennedy, who came up with this description for Lasker about what advertising is. And he said it's salesmanship in print, right? That's what, you know, good marketing does, is it pre-sells.
Sure. So, you know, I was any shiny object that came along the marketing landscape that could help be another channel for me to use as a marketing tool, I was on top of. I started podcasting in February of 2006 and did it for 7 years.
Yeah.
I started a blog, the Follis Marketing Report, right around the same time when people were just trying to figure out what a blog was. So I was using all the new social media bells and whistles as not only for channels for myself, but if I was branding myself as a marketing expert, I didn't have to just be know about these things. I had to be intimately involved with them. Mm-hmm. I had to add personal experience. So, if I'm recommending that they do a blog or something, I had to have been doing a blog for a while so I could talk from my own experience. Because there's so many, you know, there's so many people that call themselves experts at whatever, and what they really are really good salespeople, because when you scratch the surface and, you know, look at what they're about, they're really not as expert as they would make themselves out to be. So yeah. I didn't want to be one of those people.
So, we don't have a ton of time left, but I'm going to ask you a big question that probably requires more time than I'm going to give you the opportunity to answer. But okay, so you had this initial meeting back in your apartment with this brand new client. She tells you, and this is pretty classic for what we do. We will ask two questions on our first meeting. What's working in your business? What's not working in your business? And the what's not working gets a very long answer. Right. What happens next? How do you guide a business through, or how should a business owner who's listening think about what they do next?
So once you identify what the problem is, and I have to say, many of the business owners I spoke to who thought they knew what the problem was realized just after an hour or so of chatting with me and me asking some basic question, realized that the problem that they thought they had wasn't really their main problem.
Yes.
And again, that's where the therapy part comes in, you know? But once we identified and came to a consensus on what the problem was, then we had to figure out how to solve that problem. Mm-hmm. And depending on what the problem was, it could be, more video on their website, maybe a new improved website, maybe to get them get more speaking gigs. You know, it could be any number of marketing tactics that would help address the strategy that we were trying to, you know, succeed with. So, you know, it started out with, you know, what is their goal? What is their goal? And then you figure out the strategy to achieve that goal. And then out of that comes the tactics or the projects that we had to break it down. So a lot of times when we broke it down, if it needed more, you know, I could, you know, what was fun, because I I have so many skill sets that I've just had to develop out of necessity. And being a creative guy, I can be a copywriter. I started out as an art director. I know how to create video. So a lot of the, when we broke it down into bite-size tactics, I could then give them a proposal what it would cost to address that problem, you know, with these tactics. And I would give them a couple of choices, A, B, or C, you know, fancy, medium, and, you know, and basic. Mm-hmm. And then they didn't have to go with me, but because I had developed a rapport with them and a level of trust,
yeah.
You know, it started out with this discussion and consulting. And then for me, the fun part of it was breaking it down into the project work, because then it wasn't just based on my time. It was based on a fee, you know, that I could do on my own and, you know, show them work at designated, you know, checkpoints where I'd show them the work by, based on the timetable. So that's how I built my business, by breaking it out to projects. And sometimes there were things that I just had no interest. If it was like Google Analytics or AdWords and things like that, there was really nerdy stuff. I said, find someone who does that, or I could help you find someone that does that. I just have no interest in doing that, nor would I be good at it. I knew what I was good at. I knew what I liked to do. And for those things, I would definitely stay involved with working with them.
Yeah, I love that. First of all, you're humble enough to say, "Yeah, I'm not going to do everything, and some of the stuff is either doesn't interest you or isn't appropriate for your skill set." But I think that the point that you made earlier is the one that I want to reinforce here for any business that's thinking their problem is X, that by working through it with somebody, you know, who is not intimately, you know, involved in the business, that they will probably uncover a bigger problem or a root cause of the problem, or a problem that exists somewhere else and they've been distracted. And it sounds like you've seen those scenarios time and again.
And again, that's how it's like therapy, because, you know, you talk to a couple that's breaking up in their marriage, and they come to the therapist with what they think the problem is. And then after some discussion with a therapist who's asked some probing questions, oftentimes it's a therapist who will uncover what the real issue is. You know, some people may not want to hear that, but they don't have the objectivity. This is part of the thing that I think you can appreciate, is not only are they not marketing experts, but because they are so enmeshed and emotionally involved with the business, they don't have the detachment that's really necessary to see their business from a bigger perspective and from a more objective perspective. And that's why hiring someone like yourself or when I was doing marketing therapy can be really, really beneficial.
Well, I was going to ask you, you know, can somebody convince you to come in off the tennis court and still work with them these days, or is that a former life at this point?
You know, I never say never, but right now, I guess I would entertain the idea. I don't need to do it, which is a great position to be in. I feel very fortunate that I can say that, and I can honestly say that right now. What's more important to me than money is time. But I, as I said to you earlier, David, I love marketing. I still know a lot about it. I love engaging with entrepreneurs, and it's great to be choosy. You know, now I would only consider working with someone if I, thought I could help them. Mm-hmm. If they really had that marketing mindset, and I could tell pretty quickly after chatting with them whether or not they have that or not, and B, whether I think it would be an enjoyable experience.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like dating. You know, you meet someone and you decide, is this someone I'd want to have another date with, or just say, you know, it was nice meeting you, good luck, you know? So I suppose I could be convinced, but it's not something I need to do.
Yeah, that's a great place to be in. And so, you know, I said to you before we started recording, where can people find you and how can they connect with you? Should we, you know, tell them about your website? Should we send them to, you know, connect with you on LinkedIn? And you had the best answer that I've ever had anybody give, which is have them look me up on Google. Yeah. So we're going to leave a link to Google. So you don't actually have to even type in John's name. You can simply click the link in the show notes and it will take you over to the John Follis Google search, where you're going to find a lot of great details about his work, the contribution to the advertising and marketing world, the documentarian filmmaker that you know that you've become as well, and a lot more. And we'll even leave a link to your website just for sure. Those folks who want to find you there as well.
Yeah, the website does have a link that goes to my marketing therapy page. I mean, it's pretty outdated now from a design standpoint because I haven't really bothered to do anything with it since I created it decades ago. But I haven't needed to. But that will give you information about that. And there's only one other John Follis who has a lot of content out there. And he's also a designer, and I have a design background, but he's out of LA and he makes a lot of pottery things. So I'm not the pottery John Follis. That's
and he seems to be considerably older than you. So
he's dead. He's also dead.
Okay. Well, there
you
go.
That's not me. Yeah.
Anyway, to the living John Follis, thank you so very much for joining me. This has been a great conversation. I know that there's lots more that I would love to pick your brain about. And so I hope we have an opportunity to continue this conversation again. So thanks for being here.
My pleasure, David. Anytime you want to talk again, I'd be happy to do that.
Indeed. Folks, this has been another episode of More Perfect Marketing. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with somebody who you think can benefit from listening. And if you have something nice to say, I'd certainly appreciate a review. Anyway, we'll see you back here next time. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.